The book of James, chapter 1. We continue our journey through James. James, chapter 1, we'll begin this morning in verse 21. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God about practical faith? Today, the title of the message is Practice What You Preach. We all do that, amen? Oh me, sometimes, right? Oh me. We're all guilty of the oh me, sometimes. But our desire is to practice what we preach. Amen? There we go. All right. James chapter 1 verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure religion and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer, please? You may be seated. If you'll notice the therefore that we started with, that was the first word there in verse 21. Therefore. That's there for a reason. Okay? And what he's going to tell us in the chapters that, or the verses that we just read, when he starts out with therefore, it goes back and he refers to what he's already shared. So, because you're going to be tested, because you've got to endure during those tests, and because you need to pass the test, because you're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's hard sometimes. I mean, let's be honest. I don't care who you are. That's hard. And often I'm not very good at it. And sometimes I don't even want to do it. Let's be honest, right? But we've got to know how. We've got to know. All this sounds real good. And man, I can jump up and down and scream and yell and preach at you about being doers of the word. But how do you get there? That's what I want you to get today. How do you put into practice what you preach? Well, and we start with the message. Our message that we preach. The message is, there has to be a willingness. A willing renovation, if you will. James says, lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. First thing that catches my eye is, if you're going to put it into practice, you are the only one that can put it to practice in your life. Okay? You're the only one that can make the decision. I can't decide for you. I can't practice it for you. You're going to have to decide, this is what I want to do and what I'm going to do. And the first step is, you've got to get rid of some things. Let go. Give up. Turn over some things. Now, there are undoubtedly some things in each of our lives that should not be there. Amen? Okay? So before we get into practicing what we preach, we've got to get rid of the things that come between us and God and the things that prevent us from practicing what we preach. All kinds of filthiness, which is vulgarity in whatever form. All kinds of wickedness, which is evil, hateful, bitterness. You can go on and on. You know, there's two very general terms. You can go on and on. But whatever it is that's in your way, you have to decide that you're the one that's going to let that stuff go. You're the only one that can. And until you decide, you'll never move forward. You see, it's at this point that you begin to realize, I'm fighting the battles, but I'm fighting incorrectly. The way I'm fighting is not working. You ever feel like every day's a battle and you never win? Do you ever feel that way? Often it's because we're using the wrong instruments of war. You see, you cannot return evil for evil and win. Think about that. You cannot return anger for anger and win. You cannot, younger people, seek to fit in the crowd and win. You've got to fight according to God's rules. And you must realize, you see, when we return bitterness for bitterness, anger for anger, trying to be part of the crowd, what happens is somewhere along the way, we become miserable on the inside and we realize this is not working. It's time to let it go. To say, I'm not going to do this anymore. This is not the joy of who I am. This is not the peace that a child of God is supposed to have. And that's when he says, lay aside these things. He said, this is the first step. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. I really hold on. It doesn't matter. You'll never go any farther until you're willing to say, these things do not belong in my life. I'm not living this way anymore. You're the only one that can do that. Then we go on. There has to be a welcomed reception. He said, receive with meekness the word. You see, that word receive, we think of just taking it. It literally means to welcome the word. All right? So, putting those two together, receive in meekness, he's saying, in gentleness, welcome the word of God. You see, here's your handbook. This is how to this is how to get it done, if you will. As you read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, as you hear the Word of God preached and taught, and you have a choice. You can rebel or refuse. You can blame the preacher. Well, I didn't like that message. It was hard. It was tough. And listen, if I'm preaching the Word, don't blame me. Take it up with God, okay? But as the Word is taught, as you study the Word, as you get into the Word saying, God, what are you speaking to me personally? And you lay aside the pride and the selfishness and you gently welcome the Word of God for what it is, the Word of God. Things change. As a matter of fact, I love the way he put it in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive in meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That word implanted means planted. Do you realize? You see, there are a lot of people who have been under Bible training for years and years. They've sat in church for years and years and years. They've sat in Sunday school classes and preaching, and they've heard the Word of God over and over and over. And the Word of God is living inside you. And because the Word of God is living inside you, a And you're fighting these battles. If you do not fight them on God's terms, you will not have peace. Okay? Now let me ask you this. Where you are right now in your life, do you have peace? Some people, you know, have come to me at different points of ministry and said, "Brother Doug, I just don't have the joy. I just don't have the peace on the inside." It's often because the Word of God is indwelling you. It's been taught and you know what the Word says, but you don't let the Word of God win. You see, there's a battle going on inside you. Peter put it like this, 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." When we see words like fleshly lust, we think immorality and ungodliness. No, fleshly lust is when the flesh takes over, whatever the situation is. And my friends, peace will only come when you gently welcome the Word of God and say, "God, change me." Therein will be your peace. Nowhere else. Not getting even. Not living like the world. Not fitting into a crowd. Not revenge. None of that brings peace. But I want to tell you, you know what does bring... When you say yes to God, that brings peace. I cannot really explain to you why or how. But when I'm hurting, when I'm brokenhearted, when I'm beat up, and I go to the Word of God, and God speaks to me through His Word, it changes me from the inside out. Because God's Word is alive. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Yes, it will convict you of sin. It will convict you of those wrong feelings that you have. But not only does it convict and correct, beloved, it sets you on the right course so that you can once again have the joy of the Lord on the inside. God's Word works. But there has to be a willingness in your heart to receive what it says as the Word of God, not a suggestion from God. You've got to welcome the Word. And that Word will renew you. Look what it says. The last line of verse 21, "which is able to save your souls." Now, that word "save," it's not talking about that salvation experience, even though the Word of God is the source of our salvation. That word "save" here, as it's used here, it means to deliver, to rescue, even to cure or to make well. You see, what happens is you get beaten down by life. When it rains, it pours. One thing happens and another thing happens. And things don't turn out the way you thought they should or would. And you become disappointed. You become discouraged. You become hurt. And really what's going on is you become soul sick. Have you ever been soul sick? That's what he's saying here. He's saying the Word of God can cure you from the inside out. It can heal that soul sickness that you're dealing with. What are your options? I mean, you know, James is a real in-your-face book, but when you back up, he's just so very practical. Your options are to do it your way, live your life your way, and experience the disappointments, the discouragements, the hurts, the pain, or your life is to do it God's way and experience joy and peace so that at night when you lay down, you can sleep. So that in the morning when you rise up, you can feel good about the day that is ahead of you. Listen, I know you've heard time and time again to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've heard that, but do you understand the application of it? So often, you know, people, I've done it. You know, I try every so often to read through the Bible. It's just a pattern that I want to do. And it's easy to read through the Bible. That is not a problem. The problem is to get in the Bible and to let the Bible change you. And that's what James is talking about here. Okay? I will promise you this upon the authority of the Word of God. If you are indeed a child of God, you will not have peace as long as you are living in opposition to what the Word says. Amen. You will not. We go on. Let's talk about how to practice what we preach. The method. You see, it's all just a theory until we put it into practice. James said, don't be deceived or deceiving yourselves. That word deceive, it doesn't just mean to mislead as it's used here. It means to defraud yourself. When you hear it, you know it, but you do not apply it, what you're doing is you're defrauding or you're robbing yourself of the joy that comes from communion with Almighty God Himself. Yeah? You're robbing yourself of the joy. Let's take an example from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Here's one we all love. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I love this scripture. I love applying this scripture. And I'm lying to you just as big as I can lie to you right now. This is a tough one. Love your enemies. Let me tell you, are you fighting battles at work? Are there people at work who are just in direct opposition to everything you stand for and everything you are? As a matter of fact, their very presence when you see them at work, you just become angry because you saw them. You ever been there and done that? Hey, let's admit it, okay? Yeah. You hate to see them coming. Let me ask you, what are you doing to them, with them? Are you loving them? As they approach, do you meet them with a smile and say, I just want you to know I love you? Probably not. But let me tell you what is happening. You see them, you become troubled on the inside. The more you look at them, the more you become troubled on the inside. And that troubling just builds and builds until every time you see them, you just want to run the other way. What's the problem? The problem's not them. The problem's you. You're not loving your enemy. Does it make sense? You see, we're not like the rest of the world as children of God. Sometimes it concerns me. I know there are a lot of people out there in this world that I would disagree with wholeheartedly upon their life and lifestyles and moralities. And you know, there are things that I'm just firmly against. But you know what I've also discovered? I can either drive them away by my response to them, or I can love them and hopefully they'll be drawn to me enough that I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But I've got to learn how to love my enemy. Bless those who curse you. Oh, this is a good one. Do you do that? When somebody speaks harshly to you, when somebody says, I don't like you and blah, they say, well, I love you. Well, I hate you. Well, I love you. Is that what you do? No. Most of us say, well, I hate you back. We're even. And we wonder why on the inside we're torn up. You see, friends, you can't control what everybody else does. But you can control what you do. Okay? That's this instruction. You're the one that decides your response to the world. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for those you don't like? No, Brother Doug, why not? You know, one of two things can happen. To those people that you don't like, you start praying for them. God might just change them. Or even more likely, He might just change you so that you will love them the way you're supposed to love them. But I promise you, you pray for them, something will change. You see, this is being doers of the Word. When we're willing to do those things that yes, they're hard. Let's take another example. Matthew 6:14-15. Are you living in unforgiveness and bitterness? Wherever that unforgiveness and bitterness comes from, it doesn't matter. Maybe it's a family thing from way in the past, and you haven't talked to that family member for 40 years. Every time you think of that family member, just inside it just swells up. It's because you're not right with God. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. I didn't say it was your fault. But what you haven't done is forgiven. You see, as children of God, we are required to forgive. Amen? It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. We're required to forgive. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Sounds good. Here it gets even more serious. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You want to know what's wrong inside you? You want to know why the peace is gone? Because you have refused to give forgiveness. Therefore, you cannot be right with God because you have not received forgiveness. Does that make sense? Say amen if that makes sense. You see, this is about being doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's our job. You know, and like I say, often we preach this and, oh, you're supposed to come to church every time the doors are open. You're supposed to, work and have a job in the church. And all that's well and good. And I want you to be here when the doors are open. And I want you to have a job in the church. But beloved, if we do not execute what the Word of God says for the world to see, we will not make a difference. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill which cannot be hid. It's our job. It's our place to do the hard stuff. To forgive. To love. To apply the Word of God. You see, if you don't, according to James here, you're the one who's observed himself in a mirror. In the mirror of God's Word. And you've seen what you are. But you've walked away and didn't do anything about it. It just reminded me of something. I was walking in today. I think it was Miss Karen, one of our greeters. She said, "Ooh, Brother Doug, your hair's blown." And I said, "I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'm going to check in the mirror to see what it looks like." And it just dawned on me. I never went to the bathroom to look in the mirror. My hair may be setting straight up. If it is, I apologize. But you know what's sad? It's when we do go to the restroom, we look in the mirror, our hair's messed up, and we don't do anything about it. We wouldn't do that, would we? No, we'd take out a comb and we'd primp a little bit, get it all back in place. Before worship, Beth always checks me out. I had a spot right here. And if I'd have been wearing this jacket, I would have said, "That's a toothpaste spot." But she pointed it out. She said, "You need to go to the bathroom and get a towel and wipe that off." You know what I said? "Yes, dear." And I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror, and sure enough, there was this white spot right here. I took a little wash rag and I rubbed it off. Why? Because I didn't want to stand before y'all, big old glaring white spot, and y'all look at me and say, "Boy, he needs to go take care of himself," you know. But is that not what we do with the Word of God? When we read it and we never change. You see, the Word of God is there to deliver us. Be a doer of the Word. And I want you to understand there's promise here. In verse 25 it says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberties and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word, this one shall be blessed." You know what James is saying? He's saying it works. God's Word works if you apply it. If you don't apply it, it will not work. You know, no wonder so many of us are sour, come into church long-faced, you know, grumpy, and how are you doing? What's it to you? Are we doers? Are we applying the hard stuff? You see, if we're not, James tells us in verse 26, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue," that's one, "but deceives himself," deceives his own heart. Remember we talked about that earlier, about not being a doer. You see, if you don't do it, if you don't apply it, James says, your religion is useless. I mean, that's what he says. This one's religion is useless. If it doesn't change you, it's worthless. Amen?
Amen.
If we're not changed, it's worthless. If we don't apply and live it, what good is it? Oh, let me tell you, beloved brethren, as I preach this message, I want you to understand I preach this one to me, because I'm just as human as everybody else and I fight the same battles that everybody else fight. I don't always want to do the right thing. But I want to tell you this, as I stand before you, I promise you this is the truth. I have never regretted doing the right thing according to the Word of God. I never have. My question to you is, do you have the joy? Do you have the peace? Have you taken the Word of God and been a doer and applied it? See, I want, at this point, we're about to have the invitation. I want you to evaluate where you are at this stage of life. Are things right inside, child of God? If it's not, there is a reason. Okay? The reason is there is a war going on inside you. There's a fleshly battle of that old flesh trying to take over and you know, get them before they get you, and do unto them before they do unto you. And that's the ways of the world. But God's Word is saying, love your enemy. Battle's going on inside. You see, either the flesh is going to win and you're going to be miserable, or the Spirit's going to win and your peace and your joy will be restored. But there can't be two winners in this battle. It's either God or it's Satan. You may be here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to take a moment and I want to ask you this question. Is what you're doing working? You see, what I notice about people who live without Jesus is they're miserable. Oh, no, brother, I'm all right. Are you? Check inside. Truth is, Brother Doug, I'm lonely. That's because Jesus is not living within. Truth is, Brother Doug, I'm beat up. This life has been hard on me. That's because you're not living it as a child of God. You see, Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. But you are the only ones that can commit your life to Christ. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. Only you can make the choice. Receive Jesus today. Call upon Him to make Him your Lord and your Savior. Don't fight these battles alone. It doesn't work. You see, I've often looked and I want to ask people sometimes, don't you know that doesn't work? Don't you know? Don't you see what you're doing doesn't work? I look at people whose lives have been consumed by alcohol and drugs and I want to say, don't you know it's not working? I look at people whose lives are consumed by anger and bitterness and I want to say, don't you know it's not working? Is it working? If it's not working, I will tell you what does work. Jesus Christ. Be a doer of the Word. Apply it and do it. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your instruction. Lord, being a doer of the Word is not always easy. Sometimes we have to bring that old flesh under control. And choose the spiritual answer. That's my prayer for today for everyone present, Lord. That we will be doers of the Word. That we'll do the hard things. That we'll love our enemies. That we'll do good to those who abuse us. That we'll forgive those whom we've held grudges. That, Lord, we will be that light so the world can see Your glory. For, Lord, if we're not shining for You, we're walking in darkness. I pray now Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.